traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The Greg Kelly Show.
Hello. So they're really doing it. It doesn't matter. It's not going to hold them back. It can't. They can't stop Trump. They haven't figured it out, but they are still desperately, desperately trying. Don't be distracted. All right. The important things that are happening right now, our society is coming apart. It is absolutely disintegrating before our eyes. This is Joe Biden's America. And this isn't like, oh, he happens to be president while these things are going on. He is actively pursuing the destruction of America. Zero border. That is catastrophic to our present, to our future, to everything. No border. That's horrific. Hey, losing in Afghanistan, don't ever forget what happened in August of 2021. That is on Joe Biden. He is responsible for that. He is responsible for October 7th. He is responsible for the invasion of Ukraine. That is all on him. It was a signal to the world that we are feckless, that we are not serious, that we have no capacity to strike back, that we are incompetent, and the world is taking advantage of us. Crime. All this crap about, it used to be law and order. Now it's law and order and restorative justice. We have to have restorative justice. What is that? That's code for not locking people up. That's code for delegitimizing police. That's code for pulling the rug out from under them. That is code for supporting a radical America is inherently racist ideology. And what is happening right now? This is really the disintegration before my eyes. Formerly great universities that spawned presidents are tolerating, not only tolerating, encouraging anti-Semitism. The open harassment of Jewish people is taking place in America. It's happening right now. And out the president is countenancing it. He is allowing it. Why would he? Because he is a craven, corrupt, degenerate. This is all politics for him. You know those crazy people like Ilhan Omar and those people in Michigan who actually support Hamas? The people in the West Bank who are actually supporting 9/11, who came out and into the streets. Joe is somehow, because of that corrupt, warped party, all of the weird, that weird box, he owes them. He owes them. They have the moral center, the moral authority. And he has to placate them. You know, today is Earth Day. Is it Earth Day or Earth Week or Earth Month when we celebrate the Earth or whatever? I don't know. It was actually started by Richard Nixon, of all people. Yeah, Richard Nixon. He created the Environmental Protection Agency. People don't realize how kind of socially, in a weird way, liberal Nixon was. So he's going to talk about the Earth and global warming. He won't talk about anti-Semitism. He won't mobilize his Justice Department to do anything about anti-Semitism. You know, it's been raging since October 7th. It was always there, but now it's out in the open. I looked out, you know, we have seen people on the streets burn the Israeli flag, not to mention the American flag, burn the Israel. So all this stuff is happening. America is disintegrating. Now, they can't win. They can't win with an agenda like this. There are not enough goofball radicals in the country for them to win. So they have to cheat, just like they cheated in 2020. Yeah, they did. All right, they absolutely did. Pennsylvania is the clear-cut example. And COVID and rearranging the rules without changing the law They basically blew off the law to do whatever the hell they wanted to do. That's how they won in 2020. And now they take the most significant political figure in the history of this country, arguably, certainly in the last 100 years, Donald Trump, and tie him up in court in this totally and completely bogus case. He He's his own best advocate, though, Trump. He came out. You know, they found a way, apparently, to read the Access Hollywood transcript in court today. They actually brought that up. It has nothing to do with anything. They're just trying. They want to hurt him. They want to wound him. And they see him like a caged animal, and they're going to taunt him. And they're going to try to break him. They're going to try to who knows what. But I have the indictment here. I have it right in front of me. And it's the idea that this man, this great man, President Trump, can't write a check to his own lawyer. Well, what about the porn star Stormy Daniels? Well, and that's not in the indictment, actually. The counts in the indictment are every time he wrote a check to Michael Cohen, his lawyer, who set up a contract. Every time he set up, every time he wrote a check, that was a crime. And it wasn't even writing the check. It was what he wrote in the check stub. You know, in some of those old timey checkbooks, there's a little stub there for you to fill out. Well, they say that he put the wrong thing in there. Who in the world cares? You can. It's a free country. You can write down whatever the hell you want. Well, those are business records. He wrote a check to a lawyer, and he calls it a legal expense. You know, I once had a pretty extensive bill from a lawyer, and you know what was in there? A lot of stuff that had nothing to do with the law. You know, I paid for this guy's car service. I paid for his lunch. I paid for they had a meeting with some guy. I paid for the guy who they met with. I paid for all this stuff. You know, and then the part about like legal, the legal consultation, like, you know, when they thought about the case and they strategized, that was like 10% of the bill. Everything else was like frills and expenses. So what, how is it? You can write whatever you want. And he wrote legal expenses. Sounds like a legal expense to me. Hey, Michael Cohen is one of the, what a rat bastard that guy is. And I see him all the time. I think he must live in my neighborhood. And you know what he's doing when he walks around? He's drinking it up. He loves the notoriety. He loves a celebrity. This is a guy who's been in the background all of his life. Now he's a celebrity. Why? Because he had a great client that he turned on. And I think he set him up. So if you have a situation, let's say you hire a lawyer and you have a situation where, okay, a settlement has been reached and we're going to pay a party a certain amount of money. And your lawyer comes to you and says, okay, we got it all set up. All right, this is how it's going to go down. Questions? Okay, no, I get it. Okay. We're going to pay this person. I'm going to pay this person. We're going to pay this person $130,000. Can you imagine a situation where the lawyer takes out a loan to cover your bill? The lawyer took out, Michael Cohen took out $130,000 line of equity kind of loan against his own house so he could pay the $130,000 into an LLC. What lawyer in the world would do that? Let's say I'm a lawyer. Diego, you got a problem. And I kind of, I mediate the whole thing and I figure out, okay, this is what we're going to do here. There's a contract. You're going to have to pay $130,000. Oh, actually, no, forget that, Diego. I'm going to take care of it. And I'm actually going to take a line of credit out of my own home. What do they call those? A reverse mortgage on my own house. And I'll get the money. And then you will pay me back in installments next year. Why did Michael Cohen do that? I think it was a setup. And I think actually he was hooking up with Stormy Daniels. There's a really good chance of that. We got to get Bob Costello on the phone. Bob Costello was in the middle of all this. The strange thing also, Michael Cohen gets raided on, I think, April 8th of 2018. And he pleads guilty on April 18th of 2018. 10 days later, after the FBI goes into his house, he's all ready to plead guilty to a host of charges that have nothing to do with Donald Trump. It's all this weird taxi cab business stuff that he was doing. They try to make it look like, oh, he was actually pleading guilty to a campaign finance thing. They stuck it in there. But no, this was, it's a mystery. It's not much of a mystery. They just want to get Trump. They want to stop Trump. It's not going to happen. In the meantime, can we support our Jewish brothers and sisters everywhere they are, including these once great universities like Columbia, like Yale, like Harvard, and the rest. Cut one, please. Cut one.
The whole world is watching this hoax.
Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. See, I got them this thing here. It says cut, right? And then we say cut one, okay? See the part about Israel and Colombia, right? Do you or not, Diego? Okay? So to talk to me. What's going on with you? Yeah, all right. So cut one. I thought it was pretty cut and dried. Try it again.
Remember the 7th of October.
Never forget the 7th of October.
That will happen.
Never forget the 7th of October.
Not one more time. Not 5 more times. Not 10 more times. Not 100 more times. Not 1,000 more times.
No, 10,000 times.
Sounds reasonable. Maniacs. Cut two. Try two. Number two. All right, they're saying NYPD, KKK, IDF, they're all the same. NYPD and the KKK, huh? And they're not done. Cut three, number three. NYPD, go to hell. Israel, go to hell, they're saying. Wow, and that's the most people at Columbia. Here's another one. Cut four. Again, remember Hamas, what they did on October 7th? They killed babies. Cut four.
Long live Hamas!
Long live Hamas!
Well, that's kind of a pathetic little drum beat he's got going there. All right, stop. Gosh. So this is outright anti-Semitism everywhere, and it's gotten physical. They're pushing and they're shoving and they're taunting and they're stalking. And Columbia University, the faculty, the management there, they're intimidated by these people. They're intimidated by these young children yelling their heads off, yelling anti-Semitic things. They're actually somehow, I don't know, they want to accommodate them somehow instead of locking them all up. Now, you can say whatever the hell you want in America, but you can't necessarily say it on private property. Columbia University is saying that this is okay. And I think Elise Stefanik was right. These people need to, she needs to be fired. She needs to resign. I'm talking about the president of Columbia. Her name is Shafiq, Shafiq. She did an okay job covering up for her tolerance of all this stuff. But she needs to resign, and maybe Elise Stefanik and we can make that happen. Did you see the celebration over the Ukraine funding? Did you see that? All those Ukraine flags all over the place, and Mike Johnson, man, oh man, it's true. It took me a while to figure it out, but he is a great big disappointment. Looks like he's owned by the swamp. I think he's thinking more. What? Why are you giving me the thumbs up? What? Oh. I'm not sure what that means, but so Mike Johnson, what's his deal again? Oh, look, all he had to do was say, okay, you want your Ukraine funding? I'll give it to you if the Biden administration starts up Remain in Mexico. That great policy that worked under Trump, that's all you got to do. It's a piece of paper. It's not $1 trillion of omnibus bill. Just go ahead and make that happen. He could have done that, but he didn't. And he's letting himself be pushed around by generals and world leaders and who else? You know, these agencies, the FBI, the CIA, the DNI. Actually, this is a pretty good summary of what happened. That's what happened. He's owned by those guys. He's supposed to represent us. You know, we're pretty important in all of this. The people. Not anymore. Not in Mike Johnson's America. Go ahead.
This was a transformation.
Sure was.
That we saw from Speaker of the House Johnson. What do you think drove it? How did he suddenly become this force willing to lose his job for the sake of something he opposed just 6 months ago?
I think it was a combination of intel briefings with folks who work for groups with acronyms that run their organizations.
CIA, DNI.
Exactly. Folks with four stars on their shoulders, mm-hmm. foreign leaders. I think it was also, frankly, the call of history, him recognizing that he was in a providential moment. And then lastly, politics. He was trying to save face, John. The fact is, if he hadn't have moved this bill the way he did, there was going to be an effort to bring it to the floor directly through a procedure.
Stop for a second. Did you hear about all those groups that influenced Mike Johnson? They call them acronyms. They're actually not acronyms. They're abbreviations. NATO is an acronym. CIA is an abbreviation. Get it straight. But they are the agencies told him what to do. These unelected people, no accountability. They ran circles. They run circles around these chumps who were supposed to represent us. We're not chumps. We have a seat at the table. We actually have 435 of them, 535 if you count the Senate. Our voice matters. All these guys do is go there, and they get owned by the CIA, the DNI, the NDI, all that crap. And why the hell should they be listening to them? They're always wrong. They're always wrong. So Mike Johnson, all right, you have secured your place, not in history, but in the swamp. In the swamp, and there's going to be a great big fat cat lobbying job available to you in January when we push you the hell out of there. Be right back.
Greg Kelly.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Wow, this is amazing. A Columbia University professor, he's Jewish, his name is Shai Davidi. And they won't let him on a portion of the campus because he's Jewish, because the students, the crazy radical terrorist supporting students, call this one area the liberated zone. And the Columbia staff, I can't believe this, the once normal, the once sane, although I don't know him that well, he might just be a totally gutless freak by the name of Kaz Holloway. He's the COO of Columbia University. He won't let this Jewish professor into the liberated zone. Liberated zone, that's some student invention. He is a professor. He wants to get on to Columbia University. And Kaz Holloway, the COO, won't let him. This guy used to work for Bloomberg, by the way. Hey, where the hell is Bloomberg on all of this? Where the hell are a lot of people on this right now? Where are the people? Hey, for all I know, Bloomberg has written a check for, $100 million for Israeli relief. I'm sure he has. I can't hold him. I'm not going to throw his name in the mix. But I look at Kaz Holloway. I'm seeing he won't let this Jewish professor right on. It's pretty wild. It's really, really wild. All right. This is President Trump. And all of these points he's making, there's more truth here than in a month's worth of coverage of these trials from the fake news. You ready? All right, here he is just leaving court a little while ago.
So you heard that yourself. This is a case that nobody wanted to bring, including Alvin Bragg.
Stop! There's the music. As soon as we get back, we'll have that. Also, special guest, Ray Kelly, who happens to be a lawyer, and he has a few things to say about Alvin Bragg and this case against Trump.
Listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
So you heard that yourself. This is a case that nobody wanted to bring, including Alvin Bragg. It was just at the last minute they decided that it's a case that, if you're looking back, it goes back many, many years, 2015, maybe before that. And it's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very
minor thing in terms of the law, in terms of all the violent crime that's going on outside as we speak, right outside as we speak. But this is a case where you pay a lawyer. He's a lawyer.
No. Don't keep it going. Keep it going.
And they call it a legal expense. That's the exact term they use. Legal expense in the books. And another thing that wasn't even said was we never even deducted it as a tax deduction. So that takes a whole vast year. Most people want to deduct everything. We never even took it as a tax deduction. But they call the payment to a lawyer a legal expense in the books. They didn't call it construction. They didn't say you're building a building. It called a payment to a lawyer because, as you know, Cohn is a lawyer. Represented a lot of people over the years. Now, I'm not the only one. And wasn't very good in a lot of ways in terms of his representation. But he represented a lot of people. But he puts in an invoice or whatever, a bill, and they pay and they call it a legal expense. I got indicted for that. What else would you call it? Actually, nobody's been able to say what you're supposed to call it. If a lawyer puts in a bill or an invoice, and you pay the bill, and in the book, it's a little line. That's a very small little line. I don't know if you could even write more than two words. It's not like you could tell a life story. They marked it down to a legal expense. This is what I got indicted over.
That's amazing. He's totally right. It's exactly, I got the indictment right here. Forget Stormy. Forget all that stuff. Writing a check to his own lawyer, and calling it a legal expense. Now, I'm joined by another lawyer. I know all of you know Ray Kelly, the longest serving police commissioner in this history of this city. And best, oh, by the way, crime low, record lows, record high approval rating, 75%, black, white, red, brown, Hispanic. Nobody cared. Didn't matter who you were. You loved Ray Kelly. But did you know this about Ray Kelly? Happens to be a lawyer. Became a lawyer all the way back in the early 1970s. St. John's graduate. Mario Cuomo was his teacher, one of them. And also has a master's of law from NYU, which I think is one of the top five law schools in America. Ray Kelly, did I get all that right about your legal resume?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well,
you did.
You are an attorney, which, by the way, helped you a lot in law enforcement. I'd like to get your thoughts on what's happening to President Trump right now, because now that this is the first day of the trial. It's actually happening. Before it was like, you know what, it's never going to actually happen. But here it is happening. What do you think?
I think this case should be a major embarrassment to the legal community. There is no basis to bring this case. And I am really shocked and saddened by the fact that so many prominent people in the legal world have not spoken out against this. I know there's a fear that somehow there'll be a backlash and you'll lose business, you'll lose clients, but this is wrong. And virtually every lawyer knows that. Yeah, there is no, I heard you say before, how come people are not speaking out? I have the same question in my mind. You know, and there's a whole legal world that of retired lawyers who have worked for the major law firms, have retired or gone into another status, who have made their money, who have made their name, and yet they're allowing this to go forward. It's really saddening, really, right? The granny attorney there to have this go forward in the greatest country in the world. I think you mentioned the indictment. They looked at the indictment. There's one charge in the indictment: falsifying business records. This has never been published. In other words, the allegation is that the payment to this person was made through his attorney, Cohn, and Michael Cohn, and the reimbursement to Cohn was put down as a legal expense. I mean, it's certainly arguable that's what it should be, but to have this case brought 6 months before a national election, a crucial national election is just beyond the pale. So it's saddening as much as anything else, and it does not bode well for the United States of America, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it has a chilling effect. You mentioned there are multimillionaire lawyers who are keeping their head down right now, who know better, because they're scared about, well, what is this going to mean to me? And if they're scared, multimillionaire retirees, what about the regular schnooks out there? Like, you know, people like me, I'm raising a family, I got kids, I got bills to pay. Where, like, if they can't say anything, thank God I can say something. Thank God. I really am thankful. So the indictment is a farce. It's a joke. Oh, let me ask you this, because you've been in plenty of courtrooms. You had to testify here, there, right?
Yeah.
For the prosecution, you know, you're a witness, you're a police officer, you see things. I am told that at the prosecution table, and it's probably more, but I have confirmed that there are at least four lawyers on this case sitting at the prosecutor's table. You've got a guy named Joshua Steinglass, a woman named Hoffinger, another person named Matthew Colangelo, which is a huge scandal in and of itself, because this guy is a top federal prosecutor who has now demoted himself to this case, made opening arguments. Bragg is often said to be sitting at the table. There's another lawyer whose name I don't know. So you got like five or six lawyers, prosecutors. How many prosecutors do you have when it's a regular run-of-the-mill murder case? How many people are sitting at the table?
Well, a lot less than that. But, of course, that's the district attorney's prerogative. You know, he can have as many district attorney assistants as he wants. But, yeah, it goes to show you the import of this case to them.
Well, it's his prerogative.
The basis of this.
It's his prerogative. Go ahead, sorry.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but no, the basis of this case is so, so slim. Whether you hate Trump or like Trump, it had nothing to do with that. This is bad for America. And they're going to have as many district attorneys assistant district attorneys as they think are going to be helpful.
Well, but that's proof of the corruption in my view. And by the way, those lawyers, I mean, they work for us. Alvin Bragg may be elected, but those are public resources. And we see the situation that New York City is in, and New York State and the country in decline, and crime has basically been legalized. Shoplifting has been legalized. And to have all these, I mean, we are paying their salaries. And this, to me, seems to be a gross violation of some canon, of some ethics, maybe even the law, to be having that many prosecutors over a, what did you call it again? A business records, falsifying business records. And literally, there's this, by the way, you know what word they use in this thing? They use the check stub. He says that Donald Trump put the wrongly characterized the payment in a check stub. In a check stub. The stub. What do they care about the stub? Anyway.
But apparently it was never used as a business expense for tax purposes. So, you know, where is the fraud? Who is being defrauded here? You know, it's just, there's no victim here. In these other cases that are bandying about here. It's a bad day, in my judgment, for America to have this type of prosecution go forward 6 months before a presidential election. And with no outcry from the legal community, no outcry from the Bar Association. No, we're just going to let it go forward and sit on our hands.
Because
this is just not a good situation.
And when you were learning about the law, when you go to law school, I mean, you know, I hear this stuff from judges, you know, they fall in love with the law, their love affair with the law, and that's fine. But doesn't that have something to do with, like, the law is supposed to be blind, right? Didn't somebody say that? Like, sometimes you got those statues in the Hall of Justice or whatever, and they're blindfolded as they hold that scale. All this.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Now, that seems to have really gone adrift, unfortunately. Certainly when it comes to this defendant, and as I say, you don't have to love him. You know, it doesn't have to be about him. It really is about a much bigger issue, a much broader issue for all of us, for the country.
Hey, you know
what? It can happen to him. It can happen to anybody.
It sure can. And I looked up Alvin Bragg's memo. Remember that thing, his day one memo?
Yeah.
How he basically, right. You know, certain crimes are no longer crimes. You know what's in here?
Yeah.
Quite a bit. He talks about the danger of unnecessary incarceration. And that,
oh, that's the whole thing. But this memo, absolutely. Incarceration is the absolutely last option that should be taken.
So
he is totally against putting people in jail. And you know, he's so proud of the fact that what he wasn't going to do. Here's somebody elected to office on his first day. Hey, here's what I'm not going to do for you. I'm not going to prosecute trespass. I'm not going to prosecute resisting arrest. Then the whole thing with petty larceny now and all of the thievery going on from, small businesses. In a national phenomenon. Thank you, George Soros.
You know, there's another guy here who I don't think is receiving enough attention. His name is Alan Weisselberg. Never had a problem in his life until his boss decided to run for president. They've been all over him. Right now, at this moment, Alan Weisselberg is on Rikers Island. He's in prison for 5 months. For 5 months. Now, they say he committed perjury. All right. And we all know about how bogus a lot of those perjury charges can be. But let's take it for a minute. Okay, let's just accept for a moment that he lied in court. Now, according to Alvin Bragg's day one memo, I'm going to read from it. Studies have shown that even 3 days in jail can lead to a loss of housing, employment, and strained family connections and increase the likelihood of failure to appear in court. Studies also indicate that incarceration in and of itself can create public safety risks. So, he's a nonviolent offender. We know that. And we also know it's not a major financial crime. This is not Ivan Boesky. But they're willing to throw out their own propaganda about jail and how dangerous and bad it is for even the families and put this guy in jail for 5 months. And that's where he is right now. Alan Weisselberg.
I think he's in his late 60s, right?
I think he's actually, 68 or so, something like that.
Yeah, so he's in Rikers Island, 68 years of age, for using a company car and not reporting it, you know, whatever allegation of perjury they're putting out there. No, it's all about election engineering. And this is the most egregious case of election engineering that I think has ever come forward.
Forgive me. You know how old he is? He's 76 years old. He's 76 years old in Rikers Island. And guess what? Also, Alvin Bragg, one of the reasons why he says he doesn't want to put people on Rikers Island is because Rikers Island is a dangerous cesspool and it's going down and it's in a state of crisis. So he puts this 76-year-old man there for a nonviolent crime, and it probably isn't even a crime. That's pretty wild. Let me ask you this also. You spent a lot of time in federal government. You were Undersecretary of the Treasury. You were Customs Commissioner. And I mentioned you're a lawyer and NYPD and all that stuff. I mean, the expense of this trial, isn't that something that the prosecutors are supposed to kind of factor in? You know, you got these lawyers all tied up. You got a judge tied up. You got bailiffs. You got juries. You got a lot of things that cost money. And one of the things that judges are supposed to do are say, you know what? Can't you? I remember there was a movie I once saw and the judge said, can you boys kind of figure out this disagreement amongst yourselves? I mean, There is a time and a place to worry about resources and things like that, right? Judges, that's part of their charge, or am I wrong?
Oh, yeah, but that's totally thrown out the window in this case. They'll spare no expense. And we'll see that as the trial goes along and like witnesses they produce, that sort of thing. And you're right. I mean, that in the normal course of business, government business, that's something that should very much be considered. Absolutely won't be considered in this case. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, how about this, if you don't mind changing topics, but you're a New Yorker, of course. You were born on Manhattan Island. Not a lot of New Yorkers can actually say that. But right now at Columbia University, Jewish students are under attack for being Jewish. Jewish faculty, some of them, are under attack for being Jewish. There are raging protests, some of them violent, and the university seems to be tolerating it. I just saw a video where they would not allow a Jewish professor to enter the university because the students objected. you're a Christian, but you're thoroughly versed in anti-Semitism. You once studied it for a couple of years. Just tell us, give us the lay of the land in your estimation. What's happening here, and how terrible is it?
Well, my focus was primarily on anti-Semitism in Europe, but when I did focus back here, I went to colleges. Columbia was certainly one of them where anti-Semitism was rampant. And I interviewed a lot of students, and they said, now this is a few years ago. And they said, absolutely, they were afraid. They're afraid for their physical well-being, and the administration will do nothing about it. But they know about it. You know, the Jewish groups, Halal and groups like that on campus, would have some sort of public event, and they would be harassed. They would be harassed by an organization called Students for Justice in Palestine. They had 200 college campus presidents of their organization, the components. Mm. And they've been involved in anti-Semitism since the 90s. It's been around a long time. And the complaint of the Jewish students was the administration just gave them a deaf ear. They would not accept the complaints. They would not have the security people respond. They might just respond to an event, but just stand there, don't do anything of a proactive nature. So, it's been going on there for a long, long time. It has not been just triggered by October 7th. Going on, and they have expressed significant fear about the physical world name.
And that was a couple of years ago, and now it's got to be off the charts. Well, Ray Kelly, thank you. Thank you for speaking out, making it official. You find this repugnant, what's happening both on campus and, of course, in that courtroom downtown. Ray Kelly, longest serving police commissioner, Marine, and by the way, a lawyer and licensed to practice law and passed the bar on the first try, from what I hear. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, Greg. Thank you. Okay. Thanks for having me, Tom.
You bet. You bet.
Bye.
Did I mention he's my father, too? He's my father. I love the guy. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're back. You guys had a bang on the glass. I'm looking at the, I'm actually listening to it. I'm going to cue it up for you guys when we come back. The original Michael Cohen tape of him recording his own client. And he's flattering him big time. He wants to be on his good side, but I think that this was a trap. He's already been disbarred. He's already been to jail. And Michael Cohen is trying to make it sound like he's a good guy. He's actually taunting Trump on Twitter, or taunting. I don't think it has an effect, but hey, Joe in Middletown, hello. Are you there?
Hello? What?
Yeah, what? You're on the air.
If the Republicans hadn't gone along with funding for Ukraine and the Russians had invaded Ukraine and conquered it with all the attendant pictures in the media and on television of dead Ukrainian children and blown up Ukraine.
You know what I see when I look on when I look at Ukrainian press? I see people at the Kyiv discotheque. I see life seems pretty good there, actually. I see a lot of I don't know. I don't see what you're talking about. I don't see what you're, I know there's been horrible things that happen in war. That's why we avoid war, unless we actually have to fight. But I'm getting a little bit sick of this, Joe. I take it you're in for the long haul, right? Just keep writing these checks?
I'm in to keep Ukraine free and to...
You know what? Ukraine, let me ask you something. When's the last time they had an election in Ukraine?
Wasn't it 2 years ago, I believe?
No. 2019. All right. So this is no longer a democracy. Ukraine has imposed martial law. And under martial law, guess what they don't have? Elections.
So it ain't no democracy anymore, Joe. And I'm getting a little sick of him, that Zelensky and his silly T-shirt and his wife traveling the world. We're being lied to about a lot.